Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
So welcome everybody to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. The sad thing is we only have two more episodes.
I know.
But we're going to have as much fun as we possibly can between now and the end of the season. And we will be hearing, I'm wishing out loud, we will be hearing that there's going to be a season two, so... That's going to be a little, little special secret that they're holding at ABC. So, and ABC, if you're listening, just tell us. You can log in and, you know, break your silence and let us know. So, all right, we have some fantastic emails. We have some different kind of ways that emails have been given to us. Alira has read one, and someone else has read their own. So it's nice to kind of mix it up instead of just one thing all the time. My dulcet tones don't stay dulcet, and so it's nice to kind of change it around a little bit.
Yeah. Got to say, it's a little weird being Friday night and doing this.
Yeah.
It just feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, just weird. I'm so used to it. So, but sorry, guys, we had to do this because... we have something going on tomorrow, so.
Yep. The submissions for the logo contest are over.
Yes.
And I am reviewing the submissions, and I'm thinking probably in the next couple of days, I will announce the winner.
Yay.
And it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So, all right. I think I hear someone at the door.
Do you?
Yes.
Who's at the door?
Well, let's see. Who is that at the door? Oh no.
Oh, really?
Good evening, everyone. How are you? It's Louis the Leprechaun.
Oh, Louis.
How's everybody doing?
Well, some people are having trouble, Louis.
Well, I'll be given some magic from my bag of special coins, thrown out to the people in the chat room. I want to tell you something. I really like Ruby. You've heard of Ruby, haven't you?
I have.
In Storybrooke.
I have heard of
Statuesque,
Ruby.
Statuesque, beautiful, dark hair.
Yes, I've heard
Libra.
Of Ruby.
She's
not a Libra.
She is to me. She's a Libra. I got in a bit of trouble. I did. I got in a bit of trouble with Ruby, and I want to... We have a recording. Now, do you remember the time where she worked at the sheriff's office and she answered the phone?
Yes.
Well, I got the number, and I decided I would begin to call, and then I started to prank call and have some fun. It didn't... let me play you what happened.
Okay, let's do
all
that.
All right, here we go.
Oh. Sheriff Station, how can I help you?
This is Louis the Leprechaun speaking. Hello?
Sheriff Station?
Hello, I wonder if you could find someone for me. The last name is Snotball. First name, Yura. Hello?
Sheriff Station?
Would you be interested in taking the New York Times?
Sheriff Station?
Would you be interested in getting vinyl windows? How you doing? Hey, I was wondering if you have any raisins? Well, then how about a date? Do you like pina coladas? Getting lost in the rain, maybe. Hey, I was wondering what your sign was. Mine's closed for repairs, so... Why don't you and me go out? We'll have a howling good time.
Well, as you can see, I got in a bit of trouble. So...
Oh my god, I'm totally dying. This is just beyond funny is what that is.
Well, I wanted to... Emma got involved and it wasn't pretty. I just wanted to tell you that. So, anyhow, Ruby, if you're listening, it was just a joke. I mean, seriously. But, you know, if you want to get on leprechaunmatch.com, I'm number 2479, and you can send me a message. All right. Well, that's all. I got to be going now. Hopefully, everything works in the chat room. I'm sending some special leprechaun magic your way. Have a good evening, and enjoy Once Upon a Time tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. Sunday night.
2 days from tomorrow.
No.
Maybe tomorrow in China.
One day from tomorrow.
All right.
2 days from today.
Why are you arguing with me? My music's going. I have to go. Okay, goodbye. What the heck's going on in here?
Oh, my God.
This is crazy.
Okay, I have to admit, the one that killed me was you like pina coladas.
Well, I mean.
it was just so random and weird. It just struck me as really, really funny.
All right. Well, when we first came up with the idea for this show, the one thing I did want to do was have something that was fun. And I mean, with the show, with all the different things that are happening, there's a lot of serious stuff and people really want to focus on theories and all this. But I just figured we'll do a little fun.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, okay, let's try this. So, all right. So let's jump into some of the emails. This is from Lisa from Salt Lake City. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I hope you had a great weekend and that Colleen the Stranger lived up to your theory's expectations. Congrats on being right. Before we learn more about the Evil Queen and Snow White in next week's episode, I wanted to share something that's been on my mind since the Stable Boy episode. I agree with the other Oncers who have commented that it really makes no sense that Regina has such a vendetta against Snow for telling Evil Mom about Daniel. Regina knows her mother well enough to know that the Evil Mom will do whatever is necessary to get what she wants. I agree with you, Colleen, that Regina did not have a choice but to ask Snow to keep a secret. However, Regina should realize Evil Mom has powers to persuade. I also believe that Snow was sincerely trying to help Regina when she told Evil Mom about Daniel, as I believe Snow was genuinely happy for Regina for the few moments she thought Regina was going to marry Daniel. I just have to believe there's more to this story. My theory, Snow told her father about Daniel. Snow and her father were probably having some quiet moments soon after the wedding. Her father comments that Regina seems sad. There's Snow's opening. As I am pretty poor at theorizing, I am sure I'm wrong. However, just in case I may be right, I wanted to share the theory. Thanks for all you do for Oncers Everywhere. Lisa from Salt Lake City.
No, I think it's very plausible that she did tell her dad.
They had a pretty good relationship.
Oh, yeah. So very tight. Very tight. So.
Could be.
Yeah.
All right. So the next email is from Spidey Hawk. Howdy, howdy, Jeff and Colleen and everyone listening in the chat room. Hopefully there's a lot of people listening. Sorry, folks. Another fantastic episode goes by with really cool plot twists, references to Lost and Star Wars, and lots of plot points getting wrapped up. Sadly, I won't be able to make it for the Friday Night Live podcast, but hopefully this far into the email, someone has gotten bingo. So hopefully somebody's playing bingo out there.
Yeah.
Greg Mills created a really, really funny bingo card with all my little idiosyncrasies. So, yeah, something like that. Whatever I should have said, that's what the word
is. Yes,
yes. And so, yeah, if anybody gets bingo, you got to type it in there and say, bingo, for real, I'm serious. Okay, I will continue. I was rewatching Thor in preparation for The Avengers, which comes out Friday, and immediately recognized someone, Josh Dallas. Prince Charming himself is one of the Warriors Three Fall Draft, which then got me thinking, uh-oh, if they intend to start filming the next season of Once Upon a Time this summer, there's going to be some interesting scheduling with old JD as he is set to play Fall Draft in Thor 2, which will also begin filming this summer. Depending on how large his role is in the sequel, they may be shipping him between the sets. Anyway, time for some quick thoughts from the episode. As usual, chew on at your own discretion. Wow, what a monstro. The only thing this makes me think is that it's going to be fun seeing a little farther back in Pinocchio's tale when we get there, hopefully next season. No Figaro and Cleo on the raft with Geppetto and Pinocchio. I had some hope for them. And that was another thing I wanted to bring up too, is Mason mentioned that there was no Figaro or Cleo. And I was thinking that too. I was rewatching
the cartoon.
So awesome Tron lunchbox for Henry. I like the kid's taste. Yep. And Mickey had another appearance in Gold Shop, but I didn't see much else new that caught my eye. The canoe boat hanging from the ceiling makes me wonder if we will get a Hiawatha story. That's totally possible. I don't know if they would bring in Pocahontas, because if she's more of a historical figure, she's more of a historical figure than a fairy tale figure. But the one thing I did see is I saw a a three swords in the on a wooden something hanging on the wall.
And, so like a plaque with a,
right, a plaque
shield,
with the three swords.
Three swords kind of placed strategically behind a shield of sorts.
So I'm kind of thinking maybe it's a kind of a early shout out to the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, that would be very feasible as well.
And the boat on top of the roof. So let's kind of break down how many boats we've seen. So there's the boat that Snow used to go see Rumpelstiltskin. And Rumpel jumped in the back of it magically. Then there was the boat that Nova and Dreamy were looking at. That's the second boat. Then
well, Leroy's boat. Wouldn't that be a different boat? Wasn't it kind of a different boat, or was it the same boat?
That was a different boat.
Okay.
It was a lot bigger.
There's another boat.
And then there was another, and then there's the boat on the roof. But anyway.
Well, and then there's also the one at Marco's shop, right outside the shop, named Judy, which I thought was interesting.
So the thing I always do is I kind of keep a scorecard in my head. Once I start to see these things, I start to look for, is that? For instance, there was a shot in Mr. Gold's shop that I saw the lantern. Balefire carried and Rumpelstiltskin carried.
Yeah.
And I can't find it again. The farther, obviously, you get in the season, it's hard to kind of go back and find it.
Well, you have to remember what episode you saw it in, and then where you'd seen it in the shop is different sometimes than where you see it in the actual, like, fairy tale world.
And it was great. Mm-hmm. It was great to find the dwarf steins.
Yeah, that was
the
really
beer
cool.
steins. Because when you see more than two beer steins in a row, you go, wait a minute, I wonder. And then they showed up later. So All right, I will continue. Some call outs from About Town across from the pet shelter, Perbeck's shoe store. Maybe we get an Elves and the Shoemaker story down the road. It's very interesting. Because I wondered about that shoe store. Everything's set, right? Everything's all ready, but you just, okay, who's going to be there?
Right.
You know, is Cogsworth going to be in the watch shop?
The clock shop, yeah.
So, Neighbors Five and Dime was right next door, but I don't know whose story will connect to the owner of the store. Maybe we'll never know. Emma breaking down the thought of having to be the savior reminded me of Dogma. When Bethany, Linda Fiorentino, broke down because she was the savior of the world in that movie. And that's one of the few movies of that director that I haven't seen. Yeah, Kevin Smith. I haven't seen Dogma.
No, I haven't either.
But I'm a fan. You sort of are. But anyway. Nice shop Geppetto's got there. Nice boat outside, too. Is that Leroy's boat? I forget. You know, it might be. Because
it looked different.
Leroy
to me.
Was trying to sell it.
Oh, that's a possibility too.
So maybe. Good point. Coming to the end, Henry fell asleep reading an issue of Avengers versus X-Men. I really liked this kid's tastes. On the last note, I read online.
Spoiler?
Well, kind of, sort of. It's
okay.
All right.
Interesting stuff.
Okay. All right.
And the end?
As always, take care and thank you for such a wonderful podcast, Spidey Hawk.
Thank you, Spidey Hawk.
All right. And let's do this. And Lyra help me out, and I'm going to let her read an email. Here we go.
Hello, it's Alira reading emails. Hi, all. It's Kate, Mystery Cat 25 again. Just a few things I wanted to mention after watching The Return. Number one, I completely agree with what everybody has been saying about the dialogue in this episode. It was on fire. Emma's comments to Mr. Gold about August, Gold to Regina, etc., etc. Loved it. Two, Mystery Guy at the party, Colleen pointed out. I believe this is Billy the mechanic. He often gravitates to Ruby and was actually my original guess for the wolf. All we know about him right now from what little we've seen is that he runs the towing service. His truck says Franklin's. And is always seen in Ruby's company. He towed Ruby's car. She warned him to be careful of her wolf ornament. Helped out at the mine incident. And was hanging out at the rabbit hole where Ruby was on girls' night during Skin Deep. He bugs me almost as much as Dr. Whale as far as not knowing who he is, with only August being above them. More on him soon. 3. Balefire. The timeline has been killing me with the Balefire thing because Rumple became the Dark One centuries ago and Balefire was on the verge of his 14th birthday when that happened. But then this nifty little line occurred in The Return stating that he traveled through time and space, so he could be almost anywhere and any... when? Right? I've heard some interesting theories about Bay still being alive and possibly being Henry's dad, since we've been told before that we will meet him and maybe not know we've met him, which means Emma won't be interacting with him anytime soon. But until this time and space line happened, I couldn't wrap my head around this issue. Now, however, it sounds like a completely plausible idea. He was 14 when he traveled to a place without magic. Perhaps our world? Not Storybrooke. Outside of it. Away from the curse, away from magic. And if he landed at the right time in the timeline, then perhaps he was only 14 years older than Emma, which makes the timeline plausible again. Also, Dylan Bay looks just like a young Robert Carlyle. Somebody showed a picture comparison, I can't remember where. But he also looks a little like Jared, so it wouldn't surprise be related, much like their spot-on casting with Minnie Ginny and Ginny Jennifer, who look like they could be related easily. I don't think Bay is in Storybrooke right now, or Rumpel would have found him. He's had months to search since hearing Emma's name and snapping out of his frozen state. Perhaps August was able to pretend to be Bay because Rumpel expected him to be 28 years older than the last time he saw him, and to be out and to be from out of town, where Rumpel himself cannot currently go because he needs Emma to break the curse first. 4. August. I am more and more convinced that August is Pinocchio and the 7-year-old boy who found Emma. When we last saw Pinocchio in Fairytale Land, he was sitting in the War Council meeting with Geppetto, so he'd be privy to some information which would explain why he would know a lot about Emma and the curse. I watched the Pinocchio movie a couple of weeks ago, and the one thing I noticed was that Pinocchio's nose only grew in one scene of the movie when he was being interrogated by the Blue Fairy. We saw August talk to Mother Superior, the Blue Fairy, but what she says he told her, which is all we have to go on right now, is that he is in town trying to get back in contact with his father, Marco/Geppetto, and that they had a rough parting, which could very easily be true. We just haven't seen it yet. This world doesn't have magic except for perhaps Emma. The hat did seem to work. And he didn't technically lie to the Blue Fairy from what I can tell. So I'm not sure if it would grow to begin with. Pinocchio had an issue with lying that made it difficult for him to become a real boy, and August seems to have a similar issue. Hello, lemurs? I know some are questioning how he would just now be turning back into wood if he has been away from the curse for 28 years, but he has also been away from the other fairy tale creatures for 28 years. Perhaps now that he is back within the borders of an enchanted land, he is slowly turning back? This isn't the case to say for, say, Jiminy Cricket, because he was a human turned into a cricket, whereas Pinocchio was a puppet to begin with and is clearly getting desperate. I absolutely love the August and Henry scenes, and I rewatched one of their first ones earlier when August was fixing his bike outside Henry's house. The last thing he says in that conversation is to tell Henry, better get to school. Pinocchio is told over and over again to get to school. Not that he listens much, but perhaps August is passing along wisdom that took him forever to learn? Seems like one of those innocent little lines that just slaps you in the face on rewatch, if he is in fact Pinocchio, but was brilliantly placed and fits right in with the rest of what's going on. 5. Blue Fairy / Mother Superior. I'm torn on whether the Blue Fairy remembers who she is. If she is the ancient being who rules the night, the original power, you would think she'd have some way around it, especially knowing that Rumpel made it his life's ambition to create such a curse. She certainly had plenty of warning, even if she could only manage to scrounge up an escape plan for one baby. Who knows? Did anybody else get a kick out of Moraine's spiel about how the Rue Gorm was bigger than anything? Rule Gorm, pardon me on that one, was bigger than anything, and then it's this little tiny fairy. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Kate. Back to you, Jeff and Colleen.
What a pro.
I know.
Thanks, Alira.
Very nicely done.
And Kate,
yes. And this was obviously for the return, so it was before the strangers.
Right.
We know the answers now, mm-hmm.
But still.
But no, it was good. It was good theories before the stranger.
Yep.
So.
All righty. So I'm going to continue on. We have a few more. Here is the next email. This is from Chris. Hey, guys, if you want to see Tony Amendola. Is it? Okay.
Tony Amendola.
Yes. Tony Amendola. In a different role, he plays the man who killed Dexter Morgan's mother in season 2 of Dexter.
Oh.
He plays a real slime ball in that season, and you really root for Dexter to get him. It's a 180-degree turn from Geppetto, and it's proof of how great of an actor he is, because he's completely believable in both roles. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that. But I'm also surprised to see some of our once cast in other things. I'm always kind of like impressed to see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we know they're amazing. We know they are. But it's really cool to kind of see them in something different. Like Josh was on an episode of Hawaii Five-0 not too long ago.
Yep.
And I rewatched it recently and I went, oh, I saw his name was in the credits, and so I watched the episode again, and I'd forgotten that he was even in it. And he was great. He was a totally different character, absolutely nothing like David or even Prince Charming. So it's really cool to see those things. I like to try and find other works that the cast have done.
Well, I heard that Josh was also in Red Tails.
Yes.
It was talked about. I looked up on IMDb. It was there. He must have been cut out at the last minute.
I don't think so. I think he was in one of the, I think he was in the bar scene.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure. So. Okay.
All right. Anyway.
But yeah.
Hey, Josh, we're looking for you, man. We're trying to see everything you're in. So we were, anyway, if you're listening, if you're in the bar scene, just tweet us or something. Let us know because we really want to know. I looked all over. There was one guy who said, "I'll bet you that's Josh," but I can't be sure. George Lucas, if you're listening, let us know.
Anyway. I don't think George knows, sweetie.
No, well, he's a producer.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he knows every single person that was in the movie. I'm just saying.
He knows all.
Whatever.
Except the prequels. Anyway, we'll move on.
Let's do that.
This is this is from Karen from Chicago, Illinois. And hey, Jeff and Colleen, just a quick note about the lock August installed at Mary Margaret's place. Finally, a decent lock in this joint. Just thought it was funny since my last voicemail about how all the old locks and how easy it is to break into the place. I'm not sure if it's just because I'm from Louisiana or if anyone else caught this, but the symbols around the lock were a fleur-de-lis.
Mm-hmm. Fleur-de-lis. Mm-hmm.
Which roughly translated from French means flower of the king. Mm-hmm. Ironic since a princess lives there. Clever. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say. Great episode. Congrats to Colleen for a Pinocchio theory from the start. Lots of love to all the teams. So smart. Karen from Chicago.
Nice.
She spreads the love out to everybody.
Yep, she does.
All right.
She does. And I it didn't register, but I did notice the fleur-de-lis. And I think it just fit in with what they were doing. And it anyway.
Now, the fleur-de-lis... wasn't that used in the Da Vinci Code?
Mm-hmm.
That was the, yes.
There was a symbol of a,
right.
They were talking about the fleur-de-lis at some point in time, yeah.
Now, I'm going to take one more crazy step. Now, that wasn't Sawyer's name.
Sawyer's name?
Sawyer had a weird name in Dharma.
Oh, yeah, no. LeFleur.
Ah, okay.
He had LeFleur.
Okay.
Which is close and
my
part
French
of it.
Which is actually not good.
Fleur is flower in French.
Okay.
La fleur.
So I'm close.
Yes.
So take that, Sawyer. I'm close. All right. So this is from Tim Peters. So Tim says, okay, so two random issues that have not much to do and yet at the same time everything with the Stranger episode from your favorite Douglas Adams fan, Mr. 42. I knew it. I knew 40. Yes.
What?
Yes. I'm really a geek. 42, I figured, was Douglas Adams. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
It's not Friends, so you don't know.
Seriously.
I want to be sleeping on the couch, people. Anyway, 42 was associated to Douglas Adams. And okay, then. Anyway, I'm going to continue to read the email now.
Let's do that. Right. That's a good idea.
First, the scene with Henry and Emma in the book's added pages. We were wondering how long it would take him to figure that out. Was very interesting, and it brought up a point. Emma has seen the book and spent about as much time with it as Henry this episode, or this season, in my opinion. How much has she read? Sure, we sometimes see close-ups of pictures, but we never see her reading it. Perhaps if she read it from cover to cover, then she would see that it was internally consistent. How I would portray this to the viewers is, first Emma opens the book, then we see images and hear sound clips from a variety of episodes, then she closes the book and gives a thoughtful look and walks out. On credulity. What's that?
French for incredible.
Okay.
Or incredulous. So
see, this is why I married this woman here. Yeah. I get I'm from San Bernardino. We didn't know these types of words. Credulity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long, Emma, seriously, you met three people who tell you exactly the same thing. You meet a mayor who acts like a dictator, a psychologist who is everyone's conscience, two lost children stealing candy, plus the bad things happen, which has proven true time and again. Sure, maybe I'm stretching this, but I would have believed by now. I may be insane, so I want your rational opinions. Faithful fan of the show and your podcast, Mr. 42. Now, I do want to say this, that I do remember her saying to Henry, I think it was episode 2 or 3, I read the book, it is dangerous, and I ripped out this part at the end.
And I think she was lying to him when she said that. All right. Because she, honestly, I think she wanted him to know, to believe that she was on board with Operation Cobra.
Okay.
And for her to say, you're right, it's dangerous. I don't think she's read any of the book. She's looked at the pictures, but I don't think she's actually read the stories. Because if she did, she probably would actually start to believe.
Okay.
It's too coincidental. She'd have to see. Yep. She'd have to know. So I think she just pulled the pages out, the last few pages, just because it was convenient and easy. And then that way it's like, oh, and here's the most dangerous part. It must be the ending. Mm-hmm. So she pulls it out and then throws that in the fire so that Henry thinks, oh, cool. So she's on board with this. I mean, okay. I don't like to paint her in a bad picture, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure that she was doing that to feed his ego at that point in time.
Okay.
Just saying.
That makes sense.
No.
Hello. How are you doing? Buenos nachos, señorita. It is. Don Juanito.
And according to one of our listeners, your name is actually Don Juanito. Oh no, it scrolled too far. Sorry, I gotta find it. Because it's fantabulous.
Tell me my name. Tell me my name again.
It is.
What is my name?
Oh, no. This is bad. I can't find it. It's driving me nuts. The thing is scrolling so fast. It is. Hold on.
We need Rumpelstiltskin to give some magic.
Yes. Don Juanito Garcia Ramirez Antonio del Rosa.
I see. That would be a very long driver's license. I would have to fold it and put it in my pocket. And when Emma pulled me over, I would say, excuse me, let me get out my driver's license, and I would unfold it. It would be very long. But if that is my name, then that is my destiny. I am here to read an email from one. I'm a freebish here. Are you okay?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I know CPR and CPA, so we're going to be fine.
Yes.
The email is entitled Stranger Danger. By I'm a Freebish. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the high points. You understand?
Yes.
High points. It's like the top of the cake. You understand?
I do. Totally understand.
All right. So
top of the flan.
See, flan. You understand? You understand me like no one else does.
Great.
I'm going to read the email now. Is anyone still in the chat room? Have they all left?
No, they're all there.
All right. I'm going to read now. Please. Silence.
Okay.
All right. Hello, everyone, on today's edition of I'm a Freebish's email. We are going to learn how not to talk to strangers. Once, hit us again with a new episode. Yay. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, all right. You did.
So happy to be spreading joy like Santa Claus on Christmas.
On Christmas? Hope.
I just wanted to make sure
I got the right word.
It is Christmas.
Okay, thank you.
Hope you enjoy the email. This wasn't one of my good ones. Sorry. She always says that. She needs to feel good about what she does.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to. She said, warning, reading this may cause you to get a wooden leg. All right.
Okay.
Now let me give you an idea of what Ima does. She, listen to me, she watches the Once Upon a Time episode and she takes a pencil or pen and a pad of paper And she writes down her thoughts. These are her thoughts as she watches the episode. And I want to tell you a little secret, little known. She loves the Evil Queen. Now, not many people know that, but I'm telling you.
She are you sure?
She does. She
really?
Loves the Evil Queen.
Because I would never have guessed that.
Well, I'm telling you.
Okay, well, I'm glad you shed some light on that.
All right, I'm going to read the email. This is going to be a four-hour show. Anyways.
Please, read away.
All right. August, Mary, and Emma doing some wood shop on Mary's door to keep Regina out. Oh, Mary, you're so adorable. You think that's going to keep my lady out? Not my lady, but I'm reading.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
If Regina wants in, she gets in. All right.
Okay, then.
Henry looks like a little businessman sipping his cocoa and lounging at Granny's with his book.
Yes. Okay.
He is a businessman.
He is, of course.
Got people coming all the time, sitting around the table talking to him. Pinocchio's story has been altered. Oh, August W. Booth, or should I say Woody? Hello? Is this thing on? All right.
Oh, no.
Hold on, Pinocchio. You have got the whale of a tail on you. Got the whale of a tail to tell you, lads. Whale a tail or two. Did I sing that right? At close
sure.
at all?
Sure you did.
I know
it's
at least
fantastic.
One person in the chat room hates my singing.
At least one?
At least one.
Okay.
And they're probably telling you now. Jeff to not sing. Okay.
No.
Run, run, abandon ship. The puppy's going down. There's a huge freaking whale coming at you. Well, yeah. It's coming. Well, this scene looks familiar. Apparently stuff goes down on this beach. Oh, apparently stuff goes down on this beach. Looks like the place Leo found Jeannie. You know, and that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That was a Jeannie beach. All right. Keegan is back. Woot. I think that's how you say this word.
Okay.
I, Commander, I still don't trust the Blue Fairy. She's suspicious. I can vouch for the Blue Fairy. She is not suspicious.
She's not?
No, she's not.
No, not at all.
Not at all. She's wondrous.
Okay.
I love the Blue Fairy.
I'm
going
you do.
To keep reading now.
Oh, please do.
I'm a real boy. I'm reading the email. I'm a real man, but yay, August is Pinocchio. Oh, really? You want to get in the good graces of the pimp now? Oh, I see what she's saying. It's Mr. Gold.
Yes.
That's what she's talking
about. Yes, Mr. Gold.
All right. Okay, now we got the new Limpy on the loose, and he's stealing Pimp's thunder. I see what she's doing there, too.
What is she doing there?
The wooden leg. Oh, see? That's what she's doing.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Drops everything. It's my lady looking all presidential and hot. Obama better watch out. Regina for Prez 2012. Now, that would be something. Regina.
That would be a scary something. Because
yes.
If you're on her bad side, that would be a very scary something.
Maybe she could get mad at the bad economy.
Maybe.
Just get rid of it. Okay. So, She says she wants to slap Henry. That's sad. I know she's just kidding, but, you know. So she says, Pimp holla. Oh, sir, pimp a lot. I see what you're doing here. You know August is Woody and want to reunite with him. You want to reunite him with his real dad, even though Marco doesn't have a clue August is his son. Sneaky pimp. I hope I'm reading this right.
Oh,
says, wow, what's up with these knives you got on the counter, pimp? Planning a murder? My wife has a lot of knives.
Does she now?
Doña Juanita. She does.
Does she?
She does indeed.
Does she say, I will cut you?
Well, possibly. All right, I'm going to... Okay, here we go. You can put in your own music. Your own boom chicka wow wow music in the background. I'm going to read The Art of Seduction by Mayor Regina Mills.
Okay.
Number one, accidentally leave your car on and drain the battery in front of the animal shelter or nearby. That's true. He was working there all day. He didn't see that. She's sitting out front, you know, playing the radio, playing the air conditioner, letting the battery run down. And he didn't even see.
No, probably not.
All right. Number two, wait for the subject to lock up. Very good. Three, fake head bump while looking at the engine like you don't know what's wrong. Four, be nice. Five, play hard to get, then take his offer to drive you home. Number six, compliment him by calling him a knight in shining armor. I love that. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen too often to me. Number seven, invite him for dinner. Number eight, read him a blank letter. Now, that is a skill. That is really a skill. Yes. Read a blank letter.
Yes, and my little crush there, Mr. Gold, he reads blank notes very See? Well as well.
See, he's the Regina master. And the pimp, Mr. Gold, Mr. P with an L, that guy. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. Number nine, play victim and count to three. 10, make him lasagna. I love lasagna.
Do you? I would have thought you would have gone for enchiladas.
Well, but I do like a little Italian food, but yes, Spanish food. It's my favorite. Guacamole. All right, number 11, pretend to get the dishes, but let him do it. I see. That's kind of what I do. I go and I start the dishes. I make a mess. The wife comes in and finishes the job. That's beautiful.
That's not beautiful. That's not beautiful.
That works all the time.
Yeah, I'll have to have a conversation with Dania when they...
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
I hope she's not nearby. Number 12, tell him a fake story. 13, lean in for a kiss. Oh, boy. This is getting warm in here. Number 14, if all else fails, smash a mirror. Well, but then you have to clean it up because the wife yells across the house. You smash the mirror again. 7 years bad luck, and you must clean it up. So my bad luck starts at that moment.
Yes.
And then for 7 years. Okay, thank you for taking the time to read The Art of Seduction. Oh, it is my pleasure, Ima. Thank you for writing it for us. I'm going to continue. The Blue Fairy brings news that the future E-Trade baby is coming into the world now. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay. I see what she's doing there. And she needs her mommy to come with her, not Pinocchio, sorry, Woody. What preparations do you need to make, Blue? This isn't a hurricane where you board up your house. What if the Blue Fairy has another tree and she crosses over before the curse? I'm convinced that woman knows something.
She probably does.
She's a fine woman, and she's a fine woman. She's
yes,
very nice.
Don Juanito.
The Blue Fairy.
She is.
All right. August shows Emma where she was found and the tree. Why doesn't the tree have a hole in it? Could it be because we are seeing it from Emma's point of view? Ah. That's a very good theory. I'm going to let Jeff Roney know that when he gets back.
Oh, please do.
That's a wonderful theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, that's very good. All right, she can't see her leg here, Long John Silver, because she's not on the same mystery tour you're on.
There's
a few more. Hold on. Hold on. Buckle up. Foster home looks depressing like a Cymbalta commercial.
A Cymbalta?
Yes.
Okay.
You're making fun of my accent.
No, I would never do that.
Now, this one takes a little time on YouTube. Okay. So, baby Emma looks like the ninja baby from YouTube. Wah! Have you seen the YouTube?
No, I have right. seen YouTube, but I have not seen the ninja baby.
Well, maybe Emma can put in the link.
Yes.
I still don't believe August is Pinocchio. He looks like Ron Weasley's long-lost brother, while August has black hair and black facial hair. Where are his freckles? Yeah, I'm not convinced. Anyone can have a wooden leg. Ba-dum-bum. I need to have sound effects. Okay. Oh, my God. How could you leave that little pumpkin nugget alone? Look at that face.
That was one of the prettiest babies I've ever seen.
That's true.
Seriously. Just beautiful baby.
Ah, father and son reunite. Love, Tony and Ian. Awesome scene. Where's Regina? It's been so long. See, she's writing her thoughts down. as she's watching the episode.
Yes, yes, she is.
All right. Emma steals Henry. Nice one, Swan. The flames of anger that are Regina are coming down on you and that yellow bug. Well, the yellow bug is pretty, you know, ran into a sign, swerved away from a wolf.
Right.
Pretty secure. Thanks so much for reading, and much love to all. Big love to Jeff and Colleen as well as the deputies. Hope you all enjoy the new episode of Once This Sunday. I know I will. Always sending out special thanks to the podcast crew for making this podcast awesome. They always try to give you what you want and are super nice about it. Full of love all the time. Hugs and kisses to all. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a Freebish's email.
Yay, clapping.
Well, I'm going to go. Time for me to go. And hopefully my wife has not heard this.
Yes, I'm sure.
But I want to tell all my little chimichangas out there that I love you as much as my wife lets me. Until we meet again, this is Don Juanito. Goodbye. The music's gone. I have to go. Goodbye. All right. What the heck's happening? What's going on over here? My stuff's all out of whack now. I got to fix the mic and all. This is crazy. All right. So we need to keep moving. There's another email here. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to actually take a little sip of water. It was dry outside. I was out looking around. It's dry. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. One of the best websites I frequent. Whoa, hold on, Dave. What the heck? Oh, cheap plug if you're willing. The site is called daytimeconfidential.com. Hmm. Okay, Dave. Has an article that they do on a regular basis called Wishful Casting, where they will take a character they want to see on a show and cast him with a realistic but perfect choice. I thought this might be fun to do at the after party section of the live show, and I've listed some people. Would love to hear your answers below. So, yeah. So let's do this. Let's end the show right now. Just stick around in the chat room. We're going to do an after show, but I do want to end it now so that we can give this section to the Magic 24/7 radio folks. So yeah. Anyway, take care. Hang around for the live show. The after show is coming pretty quick. Big love to everybody. See you guys later.